Du lytter nu til et av seminarene fra Lys og Salt Online, som ble arrangert i juni 2021 av Kristent Nettverk og Kristent Fellesskapsmenighetene i Norge. Hovedtema for seminarene Guds rike, det begrepet som Jesus bruker når han formidler sin visjon for verden vi lever i. Sjekk ut nettsiden vår lysogsalt.no og følg oss gjerne på Facebook eller Instagram. God fornøyelse.
Well, good morning, good afternoon or good evening, whatever the time is in Norway. But it's great to be with you today. And I just want to say, God is so good, and he is in control of the affairs of mankind. So it's not a time to worry or be concerned. It's just simply to know that our God reigns. I'm so pleased to be able to be with you today. The brothers have been kind enough to ask me to speak to you at this Bible Week. And I'm doing so through this form of media. So it's a challenge for me. I trust it will not be a challenge to you, as I want God's word to come to you, for you to be able to hear what God is saying to you. And as I'm speaking, I want to hear what God is saying to me. But let's just pray for the moment. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that you're in control of the affairs of our world, that in our hearts we can know tranquility and peace, and in our mind, calmness. And I pray today that in the name of Jesus, you will bless this word. Bless the hearers of this word, wherever they are. Apply your word by your spirit to my heart, to my voice, and apply the words to the hearts of the hearer, so that we will bring fruit that brings glory to your name. In Jesus' name, we pray this. Amen. I want to take you to a passage of scripture that the brothers in Norway have asked me to speak on today. And they've asked me to speak on the scriptures in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. But before I do that, I'd like to read to you the whole passage of scripture so that it's giving you a context before I give you my address. So I'd like to turn you to the scriptures, to Matthew chapter 4, from verse 23 all the way through chapter 5 to verse 16. And I'm reading from a King James version of the Bible. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them all. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the Jordan. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, and when he had sat, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. In this scripture, as we've read, we can see that Jesus, who had come now to begin his ministry after the imprisonment of John, is anointed by the Holy Spirit. He goes about preaching a gospel which causes people to repent, to turn around in their mind and their thinking, so that they could enter the kingdom of God which has arrived. His gospel was all about the kingdom, and therefore the king, who he was. And he went about demonstrating that he was the king, ruler not only of man, but ruler of disease, ruler over sickness, ruler over death. He went about doing good to everybody who came to him. All the sick that came, he, Jesus, healed them by the power of his hand. People who came to him, who were demon-possessed, he set them free by the pointing of his finger or the releasing of a word to their lives. And because of this, there were thousands of people that came from different areas of the world, from Syria, from the east of the Jordan. They all came to him because he was now popular, because people wanted to hear a message about the kingdom of God, and they also wanted to see and experience his miraculous works. Not only because they were miraculous, not only that they possibly could be healed, but many of them came just out of curiosity to see him. But when Jesus saw all these people coming to him, the first thing that he did was simply, he went up to a mountain. He wanted to get away from them. He was not really interested in the popular vote or the popular acceptance. He was not interested in fame. He'd come to do something. He'd come on a purpose and a mission. So when he went up into the mountain, his followers, those committed to him, those who had committed to his kingdom, those who had committed to him as a person, they came to him and they sat down. And suddenly they were there to listen. He wanted to have them. He wanted to speak into them. He wanted to build them up because he was more concerned with the future and the message of the gospel of the kingdom that he brought. He had to train men to be the men to continue his work. That is more important than simply having a mass following of people who follow you for no real reason for the kingdom as such, but are only interested in what they can get from you. And then the Bible says this, and we read it, and it's very important in chapter 5 of Matthew, and verse 1, he went up into a mountain, and there it says this, and he sat down, he opened his mouth and taught them. There are some clues in this for us to understand the importance of what he is about to say. First, it says, he sat down. Now, that was a typical posture of a rabbi before he is teaching and giving his students instruction. He always sat down to talk about the things that were the most important things, not just casual throwaway lines. The most important things. And Jesus, therefore, sat down. This was going to be the official declaration of teaching about the kingdom of God. And this is what came about, was what men now term the manifesto of Christianity, the Sermon on the Mount. And then there's these little words, and he opened his mouth to say or to teach to the natural man. One would really say, well, of course you open your mouth to teach. What a silly statement. But in the Greek, it means this. He opened his mouth was a saying that was, he expressed his whole heart and his whole mind without reservation to his disciples. He wanted them to know, this is what I want you to know. And he taught them. The word taught or teach was just in an aorist tense. It was an imperfect tense in the Greek. It meant it was a continuous teaching, not only for one sermon, but he taught this all through his ministry of 3.5 years. The essence of his ministry was in this. What he's about to teach, that is the gospel that I'm going to preach to you. And then he goes into the Beatitudes of God bless his people, God bless his people, God bless his people. And we're at this Bible week, and you will hear about those Beatitudes from men that have either already taught you, who will do so before this conference is over. But for me, it's to bring to your attention that they are not attitudes that you are looking for or going for. Jesus declares them as attitudes that you have. He is describing an inner quality of life. It's an inner quality of life that simply cannot be produced by the natural man. It says, blessed are the pure in heart. The natural man does not have a pure heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. The natural man is not naturally a peacemaker. All these inner qualities can only come from a Christ who lives in you. And he's talking to disciples to simply say to them, these are the attitudes that are already in you. They're attitudes that are produced and will be produced only by a Christ who's living in you. But they are attitudes that you possess. And then out of that, we then come to the verses that I've been asked to speak upon. If a person suddenly has all these inequalities, what kind of person are they? Jesus says, this is the kind of person you are. You are, you are, you are, you are the salt of the earth. Not that you may be, not that you should be, not that you could be. You are the salt of the earth. You think the earth, is that God's program? That who I am will affect the earth? Absolutely. That is God's intention. He is the Lord of all the earth. The first mandate in the book of Genesis to Adam and Eve was this. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Fill the earth with what? Fill the earth with people like yourself, made in the image of God. Fill the earth with people like that, so the whole world will see, as Habakkuk the prophet says, the whole earth will be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Lives changed, lives affecting others. This is what God wants, to fill the whole earth with people like himself. You are the salt of the earth. And when I look at that, I suddenly think, what, therefore, are the qualities of salt that we find in the scriptures? What are they? You are the salt of the earth. Well, salt first. There are three things I want to bring to your attention. There are many more, but I bring these three to you because of time. First, salt, just looking at it, is white. And above all else, the Bible speaks of salt as purity. In all the sacrifices offered in the tabernacle or the temple, with all the things added to the sacrifice, salt had to be part of it. Salt is spoken in the scriptures as something dealing with covenant. Covenant was made with salt. But above all else, it is purity. It's got antibacterial qualities. I remember when I was a little boy, sometimes I would fall over, and my grandmother may have been visiting. The first thing she would do when she saw my knee bleeding or my elbows bleeding from some scrapes or something from a fall, she would go to the kettle and boil a kettle. Then she'd pour it into a kind of a cup. And then she would add salt to it. Then she'd take a piece of cotton wool. And then she would begin to bathe my knee or bathe my elbow with salt water. It was an application of what was then a saline condition. It was something to clean, something to wash away the dirt, something to stop bacterial infection. It was cleaning the wound. Salt, you are the salt of the earth. Just by being who you are with people, you can be a cleansing agent. A cleansing agent, holding people to a sense of walk in propriety, causing people to keep their dignity. And with you being there, there are things that they will do while you are there. There are things that they would do if you were not there. But the very fact that you are there causes them to act in a way very differently to when you're not there. Salt is also a preservative. In the days of Jesus, salt was a means to preserve food. When an animal was killed, or fish was caught and killed, it was simply they would apply salt so that the animal did not suffer putrefaction or did not rot. It was preserved. It kept its freshness. It was good. And therefore, Jesus is simply saying to us as well, you are the salt of the earth. You preserve people. You preserve certain things from rotting. The world that we live in, the earth that we are living, is a world that is rotting. So many things that were invented for good are now being used for ill and for badness. But God wants us to be preservatives. Please understand this. We are not salt to the church. The church is the salt. But we are to influence society for good. We are to preserve society from tipping over the edge into greater illness, greater sickness, greater sin. We become the barrier to stop that. We are preserving the earth from going over into the depths of clear sinfulness. There came a time when the earth did do that. In the book of Genesis, it says the sin of men came up to God, and he said, I can't put up with this anymore, and he destroyed the earth with a flood. God does not want men to continue in their sinfulness, but he's given them a people that they can look at and say, these are the people I want you to be like. It's called, these are the people of the salt of the earth. The third thing I want to bring to your attention is this. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I go to the movies. Sometimes. That is, a year or so ago, 2 years ago, before COVID arrived. And I would go to the movies with my son-in-law, or sometimes my wife, and we would get a large bag of popcorn. And I'd be asked this question when I ordered the popcorn, do you want it with salt or do you want it sweet? I never said I just want popcorn. Eating popcorn without either, it's like eating cardboard. But I would always like mine, put it with salt, please. Put it with salt. And salt gave flavor to the popcorn. I didn't realize at the time that eating that popcorn also made me thirsty, because salt also makes you thirsty. But the people who were the sellers of these wonderful things like popcorn and drinks knew full well that a big bag of popcorn with salt would cause people to be thirsty. And because you were thirsty, you would buy a big drink. And because you buy a big drink, it would cost you a lot of money. They cost a lot of money. It made them a lot of profit. The drinks made more profit for them than the food. Salt adds flavor to food. Salt adds goodness to that which you're eating. You are the salt of the earth. The Christian adds goodness and flavor to the environment around. Jesus himself was invited to parties that people thought he would never go to. He went to the house of a party of publicans and sinners, the most seemingly terrible people on earth to the religious people. He went to their homes and partied. He ate with them. He drank with them. They were influenced by him. He was not influenced by them. They were infected by him. He was not infected by them. He brought to them goodness. He brought to them flavor. And that is what we as Christians are to be. We are salt to the earth. We should be people adding a flavor to life. Ask yourself a question. When people meet you, do they feel better for meeting you? Or if people meet me, are they better for meeting me? Or are they worse? Are Christians in the world, Christians that we know, as they live, do they bring cheerfulness? Do they bring hope? Do they bring encouragement at this very time that we're living in, the time of COVID? Are you out in the world with a smile and a hope? Are you out there living in a faith? Are you salt to the earth to simply say, I want you to know that you can live with a positiveness? You are giving some people a flavor to life. It's not all dull. It's not all gloom. It's not all doom. It's simply, you are the salt of the earth to bring the flavor of Christ to them. Jesus said, you are this. It's not that you will become, not that you could be, not that you should be. You are this. Secondly, he says this, you are the light of the world. Now, he did say of himself that he was the light of the world. But now he is saying that we as believers are the light of the world. And then he says, let your light shine. That is the purpose of light. It is to be seen. Salt had that invisible ingredient to penetrate what it was in contact with. Understand, for salt to be effective, it has to be in contact with that which is trying to help. Christians are not here to be drawn away into some closeted or cosseted type of behavior. We are not in a monastery to live. We are out in the world. We are making contact with people to affect their lives. But our light has to be seen. Light is there to be seen. It's not invisible. It's to be seen. And where is it to be seen? Jesus said, when the light is to be seen, it's put on, it's like a city on a hill. This is what Isaiah the prophet says in his book of Isaiah in chapter 2. We are as a city upon a hill, and the nations of the world will come to it to discover the truth of God and the words of God. We are there to be visible. Christianity and being a Christian is not private and secret. Christianity in private is to be visible, to be seen, for people to know. Because what does light do? The property of light is simply this. It is to be seen. It's to be seen to show the way to people, to guide people in the right paths, to say, this is the way, walk ye in it. Or to simply say to them, follow me and I will do you good. Or come with me and I will do you good. That is the essence of being light. Letting people see. Don't be ashamed of being a Christian today. Don't be afraid of saying what needs to be said when people are around you. We're living in a time that it is PC, politically correct. There are things that you mustn't say. There are things that you must not address. Wrongdoing, you must not make any comment, because if you do so, you'll foul of the law, or you will upset people. No. We are the light of the world. It simply means this. The breadth of God's commission to us is not we are the light of the church, but the church is the light to the world. For God so loved the world. The implications for God is earth and world. That's the breadth of what he wants the church and Christianity and the message of the gospel to reach. It's to the ends of the earth. His kingdom will know no end. It's to the end of the earth. How then can the earth be filled with the glory of God? By simply being salt and being light. Those two things, salt and light, are necessary for men to live. Without salt, man will die. Without light, he'll die. But those are two factors that are needed for men to enjoy real life. Now, I'm talking to you in Norway. Maybe other people listening from other parts of the world. but in certain places in the north of Norway, you experience in the year time, times of seemingly total darkness, or not quite total darkness, but darkness. Those are not the best places to live in. The best places to live in is perpetual light, to let the sun affect your body, to be a perpetual light to people, always knowing the right way to go, always to avoid the obstacles that are in the way that can harm you. So it's not only knowing the right way to go, it's avoiding the dangers also. Light shines a way for you. But when I look, therefore, at light, the light has to be permanently on. The Old Testament, it talked about the lamp in the temple, it talked about the lamp in the tabernacle. They were permanently burning. The way to permanently burn light in your life, as it was in Jesus' time, the lamp was lit by a wick which was soaked in oil. The lamps had to have a permanency of oil and being filled with oil. Jesus says to certain people in a little parable of the 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. The 5 wise were those who kept their oil lamps filled with oil. The foolish ones did not do so. The 5 virgins that didn't do so could not go out in the night because they had no oil to light the lamp. Jesus tells us as believers, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oil is a metaphor in the Bible for the Holy Spirit. And here we come to this very important thing. To let our light shine permanently and constantly in our world can be done by constantly knowing the filling of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul says this in Ephesians 5, be constantly, habitually, continually filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In this very time of seemingly COVID, you can know the filling and the blessing of God by being filled with the Holy Spirit and coming into a dynamic of life by the Holy Ghost, that you're able to say at all times, my light is shining. I am. You are. You are. You are. You are. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine. So in closing, I just want to simply say to you all today, as I say to myself, recognize Jesus said, I am the salt of the earth. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Together we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Putting salt and light together, God is collecting all these little lights and he puts us on a hill and a mountaintop so that the whole earth and the whole world can see, and the cosmos can see the wonderful radiance of what Jesus has done through the cross, through the resurrection. He's able to see light shining from a mountaintop. The brilliance of luminaries all shining together. A city that cannot be hid. A city that's ready. A bride prepared for the coming of Christ. Live that way. Live like I want to live. Live as salt. Live as light. Live as salt to the earth. Live as light to the world. Let us reach the world and the earth for Christ so that when he comes, he will not find no faith in the earth. When he comes, he will find faith here. He'll find salt here. He'll find light here. He will know where to come because he'll see the radiance of the light of a city on a hill. God bless you today and enjoy his goodness. Amen.